2 Peter chapter 1. I first need to say this morning that if you're taking any psychotropic or psycho-altering drugs or mind-altering drugs that's a prescribed medicine for any mental chemical imbalance, please don't stop taking it because of this sermon. Listen closely. Many of those medications can hurt you if you are not helped off of them. If they are mind-altering, some of them, if you just stop taking them, they can kill you. So you don't just quit taking them. To just quit taking them can cause more harm than the medications themselves. So please don't let an action of faith destroy you or your family or your neighborhood. Okay? All right? There are mental illnesses where the mind is broken. And keep your Bible there at 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll get there in just a little bit. And because of its problem, it has to be and can only be dealt with by medicine. I know that there are truly broken minds that have to have medical help. Okay, I know that. There is no doubt now, as you look at our nation, that it's filled with people who are insane. To hear people defend illegal immigration is insane to me. You say, you're not for immigrants? I'm for... Look, my great-great-grandparents were immigrants from Germany. I'm for immigrants, but I'm for doing it the right way. Obviously, America was made up of immigration, but I'm not for illegal immigrants. If you cross the border into Mexico illegally, they shoot you, but we don't. Now, I'm not necessarily saying to shoot them. I'm saying it's amazing to hear people defend illegal immigration. It's amazing to hear people defend legalizing marijuana. It's amazing to me to hear people defend justifying abortion. Or when you hear people, I think, foolishly talk why law-abiding citizens need to have their guns confiscated and do away with the Second Amendment just because there's a few screwballs. You don't punish law-abiding citizens for criminal activity. You punish the criminals. And why would you take guns from Americans when you can't take them from the criminals? Criminals will always have guns. You don't take guns from criminals. They get them illegally anyways. They break the law. Do you understand? It's just weird to me to hear people talk that way. It goes on and on and on. And it seems that our nation is filled with people who can't think straight and conduct themselves in a rational manner. Wall Street Journal did a report in 2002. And they said, listen, 70% of Americans meet the clinical definition of mental illness. That was Wall Street Journal. Now, there's a part of me that goes, really, that many? And then you look around and you go, yeah, probably more. Okay, all right, 70%. That was interesting. There's no doubt, okay? I can't fix these problems because they've been a long time in the making, but I can ask myself, what is the cause of this insanity and mental illness? I don't believe that most of it's chemical or biological. I believe a few have that problem, but I don't believe everybody has that problem. I believe it's a spiritual problem brought on by the rejection of God and a rejection of the Word of God. You read Romans chapter 1 and it'll tell you that. Because they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. You reject God and God allows your mind to be destroyed. That's what we're watching happen in America. You can't thumb your nose at God and have no consequences. Well, we're watching America do that. Now, just like we can break a leg, or our heart can go bad, or our lungs can go bad, or our liver can go bad, I do want you to understand, and just like you can get in a car accident and break your arm, things can happen in people's lives that can break their minds. Things can happen to bring a person to the brink of despair and cause them to lose their mind if they don't handle the tragedy correctly. Okay? That can happen. Isaiah 8:20 says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Psalm 119:130 says, the entrance of thy word gives light. Gives light. What's so disturbing to me in our nation as a Christian and as a pastor and someone who genuinely wants to help people the best I can, it amazes me that people who profess to be saved and evil, and even people who aren't, will take the word of a shrink or a psychologist as absolute truth and will doubt and object to almost everything in the Bible. That blows my mind. Look, I don't know how you can pay someone $100 or $200 per half hour and trust their mental evaluation as a man, and yet they believe you come from an ape. They don't believe in heaven or hell. They don't even believe you have a soul. They don't believe that there's any Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died for you. Why would you trust that man enough to take pills that say on the label, one of the side effects of this is that it can cause thoughts of suicide? That's a side effect of the drug. That's beyond me. Yet our nation will scoff at a man who has studied Scripture for 30 years, who offers them hope, and will embrace anything suggested by anyone who claims to be educated in psychology or psychiatry or mental evaluations, and will never one time ask, where did you get your training? How come nobody asked this question to a psychologist? What were you taught? If my chemicals are imbalanced, can you show me a chart that shows me how my chemicals should be balanced? Here's another question you should ask. Which chemicals are out of balance and by how much? I'm talking when the psychiatrist looks at you and says, you're chemically imbalanced, I need to give you drugs. Well, doc, what chemicals are out of balance? Do you know that happens a lot? I preached for a pastor one time. He said, I stood right here. He said, brother, before you preach, he said, would you sing a song? And I sang the song, Stand By Me. He sat right behind me. This was a Wednesday night at his church. He was shaking just like this. I sang the song, Stand By Me, and he just broke down, just cried. He's right behind me. As I finished the song, he said, brother, sing that song again. He went back to his song, his seat, and shaken. 2 weeks later, he went to a psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist gave him the wrong mental medicine. In 2 weeks, he was out of his church, out of the ministry, and could no longer serve as a pastor. The medicine goofed his brain up. It was the wrong stuff. You know they're practicing medicine. They don't know. It's practice. It's amazing to me, though, how many will take the word of the doctor as absolute truth. That pastor did, and he's no longer pastoring. He's incapable of pastoring. It cooked his brain, cooked his mind. Why don't you ask the question, okay, if I'm chemically imbalanced, then which chemicals are out of balance, and how much are they out of balance? Doc, how about this? How will you know when those chemicals are back in balance if I take your medicine? The doctor can give you a pill for your kidneys or an organ you have. You can go home, look up the drug on the internet and see how it affects your kidneys. But when you're told you're bipolar and they are out of balance, you go, oh no, I need a pill. Okay, bipolar. Look, there's day and night. There's good and evil, heaven and hell, right and wrong, life and death, north and south. Why wouldn't you have two poles? All of creation has two poles. There's two opposites of all of it. You're bipolar. You're tripolar. You're quadpolar. It's amazing. It's amazing to me. What I'm trying to say this morning is if the teacher or the principal, listen closely. If the teacher or the principal at school says your child has a terrible discipline problem and cannot pay attention, and you need to devote yourself to the training of your child, wait till that hits Facebook. Most Americans would complain that someone criticized how they dealt with their child. You'll never hear a teacher or a principal tell them that. If you consider disciplining your child better, you know what they will say? That average American would say, well, someone's insulted me in my parenting skills and has suggested that there's actually something wrong with my Oswald. Okay, listen closely now. I really am going somewhere with this. But when that same teacher or principal says, we're going to put your child on a lifelong addiction to a mind-altering drug that is one step below meth, the average American will get the prescription filled next week. It's easier to put the kid on drugs than it is to discipline him properly. Because the parent doesn't want to hear, You need to spank your child. I didn't say beat. I didn't say mistreat your child. You need to properly discipline your kid. You're raising a punk. You won't hear a teacher say that, but you will hear him say, we need to put your kid on drugs. And if you don't do it when the teacher says, they can take your kids from you. That's garbage. That's garbage. God tells us what is truth. John 17:17, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The Bible is truth. Psalm 119:130 says, the entrance of thy word giveth light. Isaiah 8:20, I've already told you, says, if someone doesn't speak according to this book, it is because there's no light in them. So before you take a life-altering course by someone who claims to have evaluated your mental and emotional state, I want you to know, what was the test? Who determined the test you used is correct? Listen closely. If the psychiatrist gave you a test and said, you're abnormal, what is normal? What is abnormal? Listen closely. You should be asking this question. Are people who are homosexual normal? Statistically, they're only 1% of the population. So by statistics, homosexuals are abnormal. They're not normal. But if you are telling me I'm abnormal, but you believe a homosexual is normal, you're a cuckoo bird, right? Does everybody see where I'm going with this? So you're telling me I'm abnormal, but you call the abnormal normal. That should send up a red flag. That should say, okay, something's off. Something's off. If you have trouble, okay, controlling your temper or controlling your depression, or when you don't feel like getting out of bed for a week or two because of the depression, the psychiatrist wants to medicate you. But if you look in the mirror and you see a male, but you want to be a female, that's normal. Everybody needs to think about this. Look at what they're calling normal. That's abnormal. That's abnormal. Why would you let someone like that prescribe mind-altering medicine to you? Why would you trust the judgment of people who think it's normal for a young boy to think he's a girl or a young girl to think he's a boy? But it's not normal to get angry with life or depressed with the world. All of us have to learn how to deal with anger, and all of us have to learn how to deal with depression, listen, without drugs. Without drugs. It's part of life. Life is a struggle. It's not easy for anybody. And you have to learn. I know why they turn to drugs. They don't have God. Amen? But if you've got the Lord, my goodness, you don't have to blow a cork. Amen? You don't have to go cuckoo. You've got somebody to help you. It doesn't have to be that way. Okay? I would think if anybody needs a pill, it's the person standing outside the restroom wondering which one they should use. Give that one a pill. They're a nut. Look, I'm preaching this morning. I love you. Breathe. Stay with me here. I'm not being mean, but if normal behavior does A and abnormal behavior does B, then statistically, any gender modification is not something normal that people do. It's not normal. Because this is so strange, look, someone's trying to get you involved in something that's going to be a perpetual, ongoing dependency on a drug, not a solution to your problem. Listen to what I said. If your mind is broken because of tragedy, that takes a long time to heal. And no one's expecting you to fake your way through it and come to church singing zippity-doo-dah every Sunday and stuff like that. It takes time to heal from the loss of a child. It takes time to heal from the loss of a loved one. It takes time. You can't. Sometimes you never get over it, but you learn to deal with it with the Lord. Most of the time, you never get over it. But God helps you if you'll let Him. And you don't have to go to the drugs. You don't have to go to the drugs. Now, God is not expecting you to spend the next 40 years of your life staring at the wall and muttering to yourself. They want you to think that you can just, because you can't deal with life, you need a pill. But they'll depend on you to take that pill when you're supposed to. Now, here at our church, we have dealt with people who are genuinely and truly mentally ill. You're looking at one, okay? That was a joke. I'm glad you got that, okay? But you're looking at one, all right? By their definitions, listen closely now, by their definition and the world's definition, I'm insane. This goes back to Bill Clinton's presidential era. If you tithe to a church and you believe Jesus is coming again, you are mentally unstable. That goes back to the 80s. That came out in print. That was a long time ago. Now, if you talk to an invisible person in the sky who's going to come back someday to take you to live with him somewhere in the clouds because a homeless carpenter is going to ride through the sky on a white horse, they think you're cuckoo. And that's how they describe it, too. Did you not hear him on The Voice? They called Mike Pence mentally unstable. That's where it's going. Do you understand? In other words, if you are a Christian, you're weird. You don't fit into society. And that's the way it's being programmed. But, now that's abnormal by their standards, but if you wear Star Wars pajamas and long to be bit by a radioactive spider so you can be Spider-Man, well, there's nothing wrong with you. If your religion blows up people in restaurants and runs people over on bridges and cuts their throats in theaters, we're not going to criticize you. Listen, before you prescribe to me mind-altering drugs because you think I'm mentally ill, I want to ask you, what do you think about Jesus Christ? What do you think about God? What do you think about the Bible? What do you think about heaven and hell? What do you believe about evolution? No, I didn't come from a monkey. I'm created by God. If you reject God and the Bible, you're a fool. You can't help me if you reject God. Do you understand? They used to do lobotomies with surgery. Now they do it with chemicals. You know what the lobotomy is? Remove the frontal part of your brain so you can't think for yourself anymore. They now have chemicals that do that. Look in your Bible, 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 2. Ready? Watch this. Look at these verses closely and I want you to notice the word through the knowledge of God and through the knowledge of Him. Look at verse 2. Ready? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Ready? Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. This morning you could read that verse and you should be able to think, how much do you know about God from His Word? That is what determines how much grace and peace you have. Does everybody see that? Grace and peace be multiplied. That means more. The more you know God through His Word, the more you have God's grace and God's peace. And the less you know God, the less you have God's grace and God's peace. The less the Bible is important to you, you pay a price for that. There is a price for that. Before someone says that there's something wrong with your mind, you ought to ask them how much do they know about God. Maybe your mind is troubled because you've infected and corrupted your mind with the wrong type of knowledge. Maybe you know too much of the wrong thing. Listen closely. If you hear voices and you have nightmares, can I ask you one question? I wouldn't call you mentally unstable. I'd ask you, how many murders have you seen on TV? How many thousands of murders have you seen on TV? Let's face it, if it wasn't for TV and movies and internet, most of us in our lifetime would have never seen someone killed. Never. But you watch that thousands of times and you don't think it has any ramifications? I'm having nightmares and I need a pill. Maybe you need to just go ahead and unaddict yourself from the TV. Amen now. I'm preaching. Hang on. That made a lot of sense. Amen. That's good. Listen here. The shrinks and psychologists want to shut down your thinking. But when you read Romans 12:2 and Ephesians 4:23, God wants to transform and change your thinking, not shut your mind down. The more you read the Bible, the more your IQ goes up. The more your thinking ability goes up. That book, God says in Psalm 107, He sent His Word and healed them. You ought to have that book playing in your house. The more you listen to God's Word, the more you read God's Word, the more it helps your mind. It's holy. It's eternal. It's God's Word. Amen? Look at verse 3. Watch this again. So we saw through the knowledge of God. Look at verse 3. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Watch. Through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Look, You should learn what the Bible says about anger. You should learn what the Bible says about depression. You should learn what the Bible says about war. I'm amazed hearing people, we just should stop going to war. War is God's judgment on a nation. It always has been. It always will be. You're never going to have a world without war until Jesus comes. And when you try to describe war to citizens of America, I'm amazed. I don't care what they do to the stinking Islamic soldiers that they catch. I don't care if they waterboard them. You should see what they do to our soldiers when they catch them. Pulling out the nails and the torture that they go and it gets vile. But we have to ask people in America that protest, oh, they're torturing. Or what's the new CIA director, FBI director? Oh, Haskell, she's for torture and stuff like that. I hope they do torture the Muslims when they catch them. I don't care if you pour gas on them and set them on fire. Okay, don't. Now we're going. That's the military in me. Do you understand? They'll burn our soldiers and send their corpses to us. And we can't even tell what the person is without stinking dog tags. And we're caring about how it's cuckoo. It's nuts. You cannot expose civilians to a war-type lifestyle when they've not been trained to deal with it. I don't even know why they put that stuff on the news. It's not for America. You say, well, we have a right to know what's going on. There's some things you're not going to be able to handle unless you were trained for it. Amen? And unless you've been over there, but anyways, it's so... Okay, here, if you don't know what the Bible says about war... I think you ought to know what the Bible, and as a pastor, I want to teach you what the Bible says about the loss of a loved one. But if you don't know what the Bible says, why are you going to a shrink to think properly and to know how to respond properly to things to you that happen in this life? A shrink says, oh, that's abnormal. You lost your husband. You lost your wife. Here, you shouldn't be depressed. Take this medicine. So you're telling me that's not normal to hurt and to weep and to cry and to feel a loss after someone you've been married to for years? That's natural. It doesn't take a drug. Amen. It doesn't take something that's going to fry your head. Life is tough, and it doesn't take mind-altering medicine to deal with it. Watch this. Our biggest problem is we want a pill or a cream for a quick fix. God's answers in His Word take time and effort and sacrifice and self-denial. I'm not talking about people that are born with a birth defect of diabetes. I've met those people. Their insulin maker doesn't work. Or it's a birth defect and they're born with diabetes from the time they're a baby up. But when many people who are borderline diabetic drink Cokes and eat candy bars and are praying for God to heal them, do you see the difference? I'm not making fun of people that are sick. I'm saying... people want a pill. They don't want a disciplined approach to mind control based upon the knowledge of Jesus Christ and the truth of the Bible. When someone is suicidal, listen, there is a way to learn to get up in the morning with God on your mind and with truth on your mind and with hope and life on your mind. But that's not found in a pill. Well, I'm just sad all the time. I need to... Have you ever thought of getting up and reading your Bible? You don't have to live that way. There's a better way to live. Amen? In your Bible here, look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 12. Notice the word remembrance. Ready? Watch this. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance. That takes your mind of these things. Though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Verse 13, yea, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle or this body to stir you up by putting you in, there's that word again, remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able by after my decease to have these things always in, here's that word again, remembrance. Look at verse 16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Let's go down to verse 19, and I wish you had verse 19 marked in your Bible. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Verse 19 says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. If you believe God, if you trust God, the most sure and certain thing you have in this world is His Word. It should be the first thing you give heed to, not the last. We say that we believe the Bible, but then there might be areas where we don't trust the Bible and believe God because we believe that man has advanced beyond God, and that's impossible. I have found everything in life and every problem is dealt with in the Bible, but I looked for it. I looked for it because I know it's in there. Have you looked for help and strength you need in Scripture? Have you looked for it in the Bible? Have you put the same confidence in what the Bible says and what a man says as in what a man says? I'm not denying that people who are truly mentally ill need help. I just stand against the idea that God doesn't have the help, but the help resides in men who reject God and His Word. I just fight against that. I think that's wrong. The men who came up with modern-day psychology were insane. Let me give you one of them. Sigmund Freud. Everybody's heard of him. Died in 1938. He said, all of your problems, this is modern-day psychology, all of your problems are because you never got over being weaned from your mother's breasts. What a cuckoo bird. Really? And when you read his book, Freudian Psychology, that's what he says. My sister went to see one. I was appalled at what he said. He told my sister, so you keep having headaches, migraines? He said, this is what he said, and this is because he was a Freudian psychologist. He said, are you still a virgin? She said, yes. He said, see, that's your problem. He said it in psychology, as soon as you lose your virginity, your headaches go away. That's paganism. That's heathen. That's wicked. That's sick. But that'll cure your problem. That'll give you more problems. Having sex outside of marriage, that's wrong. That'll poison your life. I'm telling you, the men who came up with modern-day psychology, they were insane. The people that wrote the books. He says man's problems are from a suppressed immorality. He smoked cigars, developed cancer of the mouth, which caused him such pain, he asked for euthanasia and 3 treatments of morphine, which killed him. He asked for 3 shots of morphine. In other words, he killed himself. He asked for assisted suicide is what he did. And you would take advice from someone like that? Listen closely. Psychology is the study of the soul. Psych, soul. Ology, the study of. How can you study the soul without God? You can't. Modern psychiatry is a humanistic way to rid man of his accountability to God for his deeds. If you say, I'm depressed, I think you need to ask yourself, why? If it's hormonal, then you can learn to not let it control you. But now listen closely to what I just said. Listen. But if you lived in sin without God all week long, what do you expect? I'm not being mean. Listen closely. Sin brings guilt and death. You weren't made to sin and not care. God gave you a conscience. It should bug you if you lived in sin all week. Maybe you're convicted from sin and you need to confess it to the Lord so He can help you. Amen? Instead of take a pill. Don't pay someone to help you sear your conscience. If you're a liar and a cheat and a criminal, you should be depressed and you should feel bad about yourself. If you committed adultery and you abandoned your children, then you shouldn't be happy. Amen. Think about it, all right? The shrink doesn't ask you why you're depressed. He just gives you a pill. But when you come to church, the preacher asks you this question. Are you saved? Amen? He asks you the question, are you right with God? Are you living for the Lord? Are you treating your husband right? Are you tweeting? Are you tweeting your wife right? Are you treating your wife right? Are you telling people about Jesus? And if somebody says, well, what's that have to do with it? It has everything to do with it. You were made by God to walk in fellowship with Him. You'll never find happiness and peace and fulfillment until you find the Lord. And if you aren't walking with Him and loving Him, you're going to be angry. You're going to be depressed. And you're going to be tri and quadpolar. We don't need to medicate you out of your guilt and shame and depression and fear of coming judgment. What we need to do is get you to Jesus. Amen? He's the one that gives forgiveness of sin. We don't need to give you a pill. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to go through a couple of verses here and then we'll be done this morning. So I've addressed the issue of mental illness and what causes mental illness. Why are we dealing with this in America at this level? So many. Now let's deal with something you need to understand. You're going to 2 Corinthians 4. Now just listen to me. Just listen to me. Once you get there, we'll read it in a second. You need to listen close because this is probably the turning point of the sermon. Physical health is never promised in the Bible. Our Western culture has us thinking that we're supposed to feel good every day. We're supposed to be happy every day. We're supposed to be on top of the world every day. But none of that came from the Bible. It came from the amusement park ads. Okay? Aren't we having a good time? Y'all see the advertisements and the posters? That's marketing. You understand? It didn't come from the Bible. Our materialism causes us to want the whole world to change and make us happy and content. When we have problems at home, and we have problems on the job, and some deal with wayward children, and all of the conflicts that are, watch this, natural. I didn't say easy. I said it does happen. It's not a real world that you're being offered from television, movies, and the internet. Listen closely. You're in 2 Corinthians 4. I just need you to listen here. We're going to read this here. Let me read someplace different. Philippians chapter 3 says this. Our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, who shall change our vile body? Our vile body. Because of our vile body, we aren't going to live without pain and suffering. That's why it doesn't make us long for this world. It should make us somewhere along the lines long for heaven. Long for heaven. Our hope is 1 Corinthians 15. Christ is coming and He's going to change your body in the twinkling of an eye. That's why the Disney world and the real world are totally opposite. One's fantasy. It doesn't exist. You're in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I told you physical health is never promised in the Bible. Look at 2 Corinthians 4. Look at verse 16. Ready? For which cause we faint not. Watch this. But though our outward man perish, that's our body. Our body's dying right now. It's not getting younger. I don't care what age you are. It's not getting stronger. As you get older, it gets weaker. It gets frailer. It gets sicker. And it finally gets so tired that it shuts down. It'll do it one way or another. Sometimes a body part will give out. But this, our outward man perishes. As you read your Bible, the Bible says our body is weak. Is weak. Okay? So our outward man is dying. Take your Bible. You're in 2 Corinthians. Go back two books. Go back to Romans chapter 8. Watch this. I just want to drive a thought home and then we'll go to the one more verse. Ready? Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 21. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of, look at this word, corruption, into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Look at Romans 8:22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Watch this. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. In other words, our body groans and we're waiting for that day when we'll be changed and taken to heaven and there will be no more suffering and pain and disease and sorrow and hurt. Jesus said, if you're physically sick, you need a physical doctor. Luke 5:31. But God has not promised us physical health in a body that will stay healthy our whole life. Listen closely. If you are physically ill and you cannot get well, God has not betrayed you or forsaken you. The only hope for our body is for when Jesus comes to make it like His. That's our hope. It's not, well, I hope I find the youth of Asia before I die. There is no youth of, fountain of youth, whatever, youth of Asia. Sorry, that was stupid. There is no fountain of youth. There is nothing you can drink to make you live forever. You're going to die. That's part of life. Nobody escapes it. But yet, we've got to try to live forever. Well, get saved, amen? Now, go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I have two more verses I want to show you. Now let's look at, I told you physical health is not promised in your Bible. Which tells me this, if you're suffering physically, things are still going, I want your pain minimized, I don't want you on drugs. I've watched people get killed from those. If you're suffering pain, I want your level of life to be high, but I've watched drugs mess people up. But we think because we got pain and this that we need a drug. Careful. Mental health and mental expectations are different than physical. God has promised you something mentally, not physically. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Ready? Look at verse 7. I hope you think about this later. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I love this verse. This doesn't mean that every saved person is of a sound mind. It does mean when you trusted Jesus Christ, you received the Holy Spirit inside of you. Now listen closely. The Holy Spirit is confident. He's without fear, right? The Holy Spirit is powerful. The Holy Spirit is, doesn't it say, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The Holy Spirit is loving. And the Holy Spirit is sound mind. Therefore, I'm using 2 Timothy 1:7. If you yield to the Holy Spirit, He can help your mind. Because you now have available the mind of Christ. Now that you're saved, you didn't used to. In other words, you don't have to go crazy. If you would yield to the Holy Spirit, He can give you a sound mind. Your health is going to go downhill, but your mental health can be strong if you're saved. It doesn't mean that it is, but it could be. It could be. All saved people are not loving, but they could be. All saved people aren't confident, but they could be. All saved people don't have peace, but they could. All saved people don't have sound mind, but they could. You don't need someone teaching you that your mind needs to be medicated. You need someone to help you learn to yield to the Holy Spirit so you can access the peace of God and the mind of Christ. That will help you. Let's turn to the last verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, just go back a couple of books there. Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I'll end with this verse. This is the last place we'll turn. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I've tried to tell you this morning what we're watching happen in our country. It should alarm you. No, I don't think things have always been this way. In World War II, they rationed butter and food. For 6 years, you went to the grocery store and you didn't buy any more than you were allowed to. To do what? To give our soldiers overseas the food that they needed in battle. Try that nowadays and watch the riots happen. You can't tell somebody you'll have to do without for a little bit. They'll riot. It's different. That was a different America. Cut off welfare. Let it stop and the bloodbath will begin. That was a different America. Back then you could ration food. We need to sacrifice so that we can win a war. You can't do that now. The mental stability is cuckoo. You understand? Nobody wants to do without. Nobody wants to sacrifice. Oh, I want what's mine. And it's a selfish, mind-twisted society. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Watch this. 2 Corinthians says, verse number 3. Ready? I'm going to read you three verses. Look at verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Notice verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. God says that people who teach you not to follow the Bible are enemies of your mental health. Listen closely, and I'm just very close to being done. God never tells you to get your cancer under control. God never commands you to get better when you're sick. God doesn't command you to have physical health. Some have it, some do. I want you to have it, but you're not commanded to have it. But listen to what God does command you. God does command you to control your mind, every thought. Do you see how the physical and the mental are different? We've not been promised physical health. It's going to get worse as we get older. I love the statement, getting old is not for wimps. Right? It's going to get tough. That's just the way it is. But your mental health, you're supposed to be controlling your mind. Your command, you and I both are commanded to. If you need help, then get with a Christian brother or sister that can encourage you and pray with you and help you and read the Bible with you to get your mind under control. But I don't think you need the drugs. God approaches physical illness totally different than mental illness. God doesn't offer us an escape from physical illness and sickness. God does offer us the mind of Christ when we get saved. And we aren't supposed to surrender to bad thoughts. We're supposed to fight against them. And if you keep feeding your mind with poison, the rap music, the rock music, the filth of this world, you're going to go nuts. I don't know what to tell you. I cannot tell you. Keep listening to that filthy music. Yeah, I hope everything turns out all right. It's not going to. You're going to poison your mind. And you won't be able to control your thoughts because of the filth you've put in it. Put good stuff in your mind. Amen? And if you have to, shut the stupid TV off. Get rid of the movies. Put the Bible in your mind. Amen? And get the mind of Christ. Physical health and mental health are two totally different worlds in the Bible. I hope this helped you. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you that when the world has no answers but drugs, they don't even know what's going on. Lord, you've given us the answer. You've given us, Lord, what we need until we see your blessed face. Please help these people this morning. Strengthen us. And Lord, you said the spiritual understand all things.